I told the fellows a while ago in the study before we came out, and the song fits so beautifully with what I said and will say tonight. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God wants to talk to us and God wants us to talk to Him? Isn't it a wonderful thing that for some reason, I don't understand why, but God loves our fellowship? And it doesn't matter who we are. We may not lack somebody's fellowship. He may not have too good a personality, but God lacks the personality of all of His kids. Doesn't matter. Folks may shun you, but God won't shun you. Folks may not like to be around you very much, but God loves to be around you. If you're His child, He loves you. Where does God live? Where does God live? Well, the prophet Isaiah said He's the high and lofty one. And that means, actually, translated, that would be He lives above the thrones of earthly kings. When it says He is the high and lofty one, it likens a high place and a lofty place to that of a king. And if it is said He is a high and lofty one, God would have been, Isaiah would have been saying that God is a king. But when it said He is the high and lofty one, it means God is the king. It means He's the king over all kings. He's the Lord over all lords. He's the God over all gods. He's the high one over all other high ones. And so our Lord inspired the prophet to say He's the high and lofty one. I guess the highest throne that was ever in Israel was Solomon's throne. It is said that Solomon's throne had six steps leading up to it, and that made him a high and lofty one. It means that if God's throne's above Solomon's throne, and it is, that means God's throne has at least seven steps, and of course that's God's number. But to say the least, God's above Solomon's throne. He's the high and lofty one. Where does God live? He lives in a high, lofty place, way up in the sky. Except the Bible says that lofty place isn't big enough for Him. It's just not quite big enough. That's where He lives. God's up there. Every little child that's ever lived just about has said, Mommy, or if he has a good mommy and dad, Mommy, where's God live? I love the little, hey, back in the back, kids. I love the little story about the little boy said, Mama, and you've heard me tell it, said, what holds the world up? And the mama said, Son, a big man holds the world up. And the boy said, Mama, what holds the man up? And she said, Son, a big rock holds the man up. Said, Mama, what holds the big rock up? She said, Son, she said, a big pole holds the rock up. And the boy said, Mama, what holds the pole up? She said, Oh, shut up! The pole goes all the way down to the bottom. And I'm not sure that's exactly it. But all of the boys and girls have frustrated us again and again and again. So, Mama, where is God? Where is God? Little boy out here in the alley, I made mention of the day. I took some food to his house and bought him a pair of shoes. Poor little boy. And he'd never been to church much and just a poor little kid. And I guess he had the first new shiny pair of shoes he ever had in his life. And he came to this church, and his shoes, you know how you feel when you got when you're a kid and you bought a new pair of shoes, you feel like your feet are 3 feet long, you know. And this little boy had his new pair of shoes, probably the first new pair he ever had in his life. And it had some good food because we'd taken him some food, and I'd bought him a pair of shoes. And he out in the alley, he'd just come back from a Sunday school class. And he stopped me in the alley, and somebody told him about Jesus in the Sunday school class. And the little boy looked up, and he said, Mister, said, is you Jesus? He said, I've been hearing about Jesus. Is you Jesus? And, but the Lord, we're supposed to be like Him as best we can. But the Lord is high, and He lives in the heavens, a high and lofty place. But that isn't all. The Bible says in Isaiah 57:15, that inhabitest eternity. He inhabits eternity. I'm glad about that. There never was a time when God was not. There never will be a time when God is not. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. When Moses said to the Lord, said, Lord, whom shall I say sent me? And the Lord said, tell him that I am has sent thee. Never, God never was and I was. God never was and I will be. Never was a time when God could say, I will be or I was. No, God always was. He always is. He's the I am. There never was a time, I made mention, young people, last Wednesday night, how that Jesus, when the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, And that means Jesus, the Son of God, was with God. And the word beginning there is not the word in the Greek, which means at creation, or at the starting of something, like you begin a service, or you begin a school, or you begin a church. No, it means from eternity was the word. Never was a time when Jesus didn't exist. He and the Father were together from eternity. Never was a time. They're always together. And that makes it so much sweeter, because when the Father turned his back on the Son, can you imagine the heartbreak of the Father? Can you imagine the heartbreak of the Son? When there ever had been a time in all eternity when the Father and Son had been separated. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. When? In the beginning. When was that? From eternity. He always was with God. And God inhabits eternity. Always was and always will be. I'm glad about that. But then there's a third thing. It says he dwells in the high and holy place. The high and holy place. No one else dwells there, just God. No one else ascends to where he is, just God. He dwells in the high and holy place. Some folks might dwell in high places. The angels might dwell in holy places. And heavenly creatures might dwell in high and holy places. And saints in heaven might dwell in high and holy places. But our God dwells in the high and holy place. Then in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27 it says, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. He dwells in the heaven of heavens. There's a heaven where all of us go. But in the heaven of heavens is where he dwells. But they can't contain him. The heaven is not big enough for God. The earth is not big enough for God. High and holy is not big enough for God. Eternity is not big enough for God. Where's God dwell? Well, he dwells as best he can in the heaven of heavens. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16, it says something else. God dwells in a light which no man can... Now, don't forget these statements. God lives by himself in the heaven of heavens. And God dwells in a light which no man can approach. That's why when Moses went on Mount Sinai, the Israelites could not even get down close to the mountain. Why? Because no man can see God and live. That's what Jesus was, if you'd like to know something. He was God veiled a little bit in human flesh so we could stand looking at him. God is so light. And that's why when Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was on the road to Damascus, suddenly he was cast down. Turn me down about that much, fellows, would you please? He was cast down, and suddenly a light shone around about him, and he was blinded with the light. Well, he couldn't see. Why? Because no man can see God. No man can see God. God, in 1 Kings 8:27, lives in the heaven of heavens. That cannot contain him. And in 1 Timothy 6:16, he dwells in a light which no man can approach. And in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, God lives in a holy habitation. Holy habitation. Then in Psalm 1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name is all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And I've taught this before, but it's a beautiful, beautiful truth. Where does God live? Well, it likens God in Psalm 1 to a performer, an actor, if you please. An actor comes out on the stage. The curtain is drawn. The actor comes out on the stage, and that actor is God. And the stage is the earth. And so God begins to perform, but his performance is too big, too great. The earth is not big enough for God. God needs more room. And so the Bible says that they put God, build the stage bigger, and make the stage in the heavens. But that's not good enough. There's not enough room in the heavens for God's performance. God is so big and so mighty and so powerful. How big is God? He's so big and so mighty and so powerful that all the heavens cannot contain him. And so what happened? They had to stretch God's platform above the heavens in order to take care of God's performance. No place big enough for God to live. Isn't that amazing? God, the earth's not big enough for God as a dwelling place. And heaven is not big enough for God as a dwelling place. And the high and lofty place, that's not big enough for God as a dwelling place. Well, then, if that be the case, pray tell me, where does God live? There's only one place big enough for God. This is the omnipotent God. This is the God of gods. This is the omnipresent God. This is the powerful, omniscient God. The God who knows everything, has all power, and is everywhere. Where can this God live? If the earth is not big enough, and if heaven is not big enough, and if the heavens are not big enough, and the high and holy place is not big enough, and the heaven of heavens is not big enough, where is a place big enough for God to live? I'm glad to tell you. In the humble and contrite heart. That's where God lives. I know of nothing any more precious than the fact that God lives in the heart of a contrite spirit. Psalm 138, verse 6 says, though the Lord be high, he hath respect unto the lowly. And in Psalm 8 and verse 2, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy. Now get this. If this don't make you rejoice and praise God, nothing will. Let me tell you something, folks. God, the great God who made the universe, he loves to talk to me and lets me talk to him. Let me tell you a sweet story. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. came to our town and to our home many years ago now. He died, how long ago did he die? Three or four? 71? I don't know. Several years ago. But about 1957, when I was pastoring in Garland, Texas, I had Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the old patriarch of the faith, come down to my church. And you know, we lost him. One day we couldn't find him. It's time to preach. We couldn't find him. Great Dr. Bob Jones, founder of Bob Jones University. We couldn't find him. We looked and looked. Time for the service. Couldn't find Dr. Bob. And so I went out in the car. See, he was out in the car reading the Bible. Couldn't find Dr. Bob. Went to the study. My study. Dr. Bob wasn't there. Went to the church office. Dr. Bob wasn't there. We went everywhere looking for Dr. Bob. You know where we found him? Somebody said, preacher, I can tell you where he is. He's over in the little beginner church playing jacks with a little child. I went over to the little beginner church, and there was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. down on his hands and knees in his 70s at the time. And had a bunch of jacks here. Throwing the ball up. Getting the ball. Throwing the ball up. Like that. And by the way, knowing Dr. Bob like I did, he was winning. But there was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. And I sat there. He didn't know I was there. I stood there behind him and watched the great Dr. Bob Jones. I watched him as he played jacks in the beginner department with little children. We wept, and I called a few others and watched him. Dr. Bob Jones, a famous, renowned evangelist, taking time to play jacks, little beginner child. And by the way, he just chose to do it. Time for church! Where's Dr. Bob Jones? Playing jacks. Playing jacks. And of course, many of you have not heard this story. It's the sweetest story that I ever tell. And I want to share it with those of you that never heard it. Dr. Bob came, and Becky at the time, Becky's now married and a pastor's wife, but Becky at the time was only, she's about 5 years old, I guess. And Dr. Bob Jones came to our house, and Becky had ringlets. I mean, she had golden ringlets. She's 3 years old. She had golden ringlets. I mean, all over her hair. Her hair was just so curly you couldn't straighten it out, and it was as gold as could be. So Dr. Bob Sr. came to our house, and Becky came to the door, and Dr. Bob said, "Hello there! Boy, you're a pretty little thing. What's your name?" And she said, "Becky." And he said, "Aren't you pretty?" And she said, and he said, "How old are you?" And she said, "This many." So he said, "Do you like candy?" And she said, and so he reached in his pocket and he got a package of Lifesavers, assorted flavor Lifesavers. You know, lemon and orange and grape and you guess at the rest of the flavors. But anyway, he reached in his pocket and got a assorted package of Lifesavers, and she reached in her bosom and got her heart and she gave it to Dr. Bob Jones. Oh, she loved Dr. Bob. My. He was her favorite preacher. I even got jealous of him. He was her favorite preacher. She loved Dr. Bob. I mean, I'll go Bob Dones University. Stinger got up and fell in love with the Tennessee Temple to go be with a boyfriend and forsook Dr. Bob. But anyway, you can't trust a woman. No, you can't. No. And especially a young girl. You can't trust every girl. Becky, Linda, and Cindy all promised me that they'd never grow up. They promised me that. And Becky broke the promise, and Linda and Cindy are going to do it. I can see signs of it as sure as I'm standing here. You can't trust them. You just can't. Say something else, too. They'll betray you. They'll promise you when they're that high, they'll never get married. But they're liars. They'll do it. They'll do it. And they'll go off and find some tow-headed fool and marry him. My daughter did. marry him. And so, Becky loved Dr. Bob. My, how she loved Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. So the years passed. I was preaching at Bob Jones University. They used to have an old winding stairway. Dr. Billings, you remember that? The president's room, was it there when you were there? Way up the top of the stairs. I was preaching at Bob Jones University for a few days, and I went to eat in the president's room with the dignitaries up there. And Dr. Bob Sr. came and said, "Hey, Dr. Hiles, I heard you all this morning on the loudspeaker. I didn't get to go to the service because I'm not well, but I heard you on the loudspeaker." He said, "When you got through, I felt like hitting the mourner's bench." And I said, "Well, most of the sinners did. Why didn't you, Dr. Bob?" And he laughed and chuckled. And now, bear in mind, he's up in years. He is senile. He couldn't remember much. Been 10 years since he gave Becky the lifesavers. He said, "Dr. Hiles, how's Becky? And I said, "Dr. Bob, do you remember Becky?" Well, he said, "Sure, and I've read about her in your books, too." And he said, "Yes, I remember Becky." And I said, Dr. Bob, she's 13 years old next Saturday. And he said, 13? My, it had been 10 years since those lifesavers. 13 next Saturday. And he said, "My, that's old." I said, "Yes, she'll be 13 next Saturday." And the next Saturday came, and the postman came on Becky's birthday, and there was a package. And the postmark was Bob Jones University. And from Dr. Bob Jones Sr., and Becky opened the package. You know what it was? It was a carton of assorted flavor lifesavers from Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Isn't that precious? You know, I've found that great men are not great men. The Bible, somebody has said, the Bible never tells about God's greatness without telling about God's humility in the same sentence. Never does. Oh God, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. What's the next verse? For out of the babes and out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. What's he saying? He's saying that God wants to talk to us. It's a marvelous passage in Psalm 8:2, which says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" I'm sorry, Psalm 8, down about verse 4 and 5. "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him?" Who am I, dear Lord? What is man? And that word in the Hebrew is enosh, which means weak man, insignificant man, frail man, nothing man. What is frail, insignificant, weak man that thou art mindful of him? Now the insult of all insults, suppose when Dr. Bob sat on his knees in the 5-year-old beginner department to play jacks. Suppose one of those little kids had said, and they just may do it, "I don't want to play jacks with you." Oh my, when the God of heaven, the God who lives in the high and holy place, the God who's the omnipotent Father, the God who knows everything, the God who has all power, the God who made the universe, when that God is mindful of you and me, and we fail to fellowship with him, how ungrateful can we be? God has condescended to talk to us. You know what I do? I fly a great deal, as you know. I fly so much my arms get so tired. And I just fly and fly and fly. And I fly so much. Do you fellows ever dream that you really are flying? I mean, flapping? About once a month, I dream that I just fly. I mean, I just fly off. And it's more fun. I hate to wake up. The sad thing, I can go to bed in Denver and wake up in Los Angeles, California, because I fly all night. But you don't get it, do you? But anyway, I fly a great deal, and I fly over this area. And whenever I go anywhere south or east, taking off from O'Hare Field, if I go south, say to Atlanta or Birmingham or Memphis or Miami, I always try to get on the left side of the plane if I can. You know why? So I can look down on Hammond and say, underneath that sut is Hammond. And if I go out this way, we fly over the lake to Detroit or Buffalo or Rochester or Toronto or Ottawa or somewhere in eastern Canada. I'll try to get on the right side of the plane. You know why? Because I look down at Hammond, and oftentimes we fly low enough where I can see your houses. And I'll say, "There's where so-and-so lives right there." And I'll say, "Lord, bless them today." And over here, there's somebody else. "Lord, bless them today." And look at there. There's Dr. Billings. Noon. He's sound asleep in the bedroom there. "Lord, wake him up today." And There's Brother Fisk. What's that magazine he's reading? Play what? But anyway, Lord, help him to get right today and repent today. And I fly over, and oftentimes I stop and think. Did you know every day when I'm gone, no matter where I am, I stop and pray over this town. I go up and down the streets. I go up and down the Hessfield section. I go up down the southern part, the South Hammond section, and Munster, and Highland, and Griffith. Every day of my life when I'm gone, I pray for as many of you as I can. And I know that I, at least 200 of you a day, I have you in my mind and my heart. And but to think that God in heaven is mindful of me tonight. Of all the people in the world and of all that God has to do, God is mindful of me. Oh, how wonderful. God says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The Son of Man, that thou visitest him. What an honor. And what I'm trying to say is this. If that be true, if God is willing to visit with me, don't you think I'd be a wicked sinner if I didn't honor his visit? Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ, your Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a help today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer can change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Let me ask you a question. Have you spent time with God today? Let's suppose, Brother Fisk, that I came to see you. And all that, and your children. Well, let's take somebody a little different. Let's see. Let's suppose. I'll take you. I want to find somebody that's sort of simple as I could, and I couldn't find anybody any simpler. And suppose I came by your house and to visit, and I walked in, and you didn't say anything, and I stayed there all day, and you didn't say anything, and there was David, your son. David didn't say anything to me. And the girls didn't say a word to me. Don't you think after being there all day, I'd be so hurt? I'd say, I came by to see you folks. I left my study. I left my job. I left the work I've got to do. I came by to spend the day with your family. And nobody talked to me. Don't you think sometimes God comes to your house and says, I was there all day. Nobody said a thing to me. How about it, kids? Supposed to be a good Christian? You're not a good Christian just because you don't drink or smoke, though I don't think you ought to be the one. You're not a good Christian because you wear a decent length hair, though I think you ought to get haircuts, but that doesn't make you a good Christian. It makes you look like one, but it doesn't make you one. You aren't a good Christian because you don't wear your miniskirts, though I don't think you ought to wear your miniskirts. I think you ought to wear skirts of a decent, modest length. That make you good. Listen, an atheist could wear a skirt down to her knees, or an atheist could get a haircut. I think you'd be a better looking atheist if you did, but an atheist could get a haircut. An atheist cannot smoke or drink. An infidel can quit chewing tobacco or quit cussing. Now, I'm simply saying that we're going to have to get to the place where we stop and realize there's a God in heaven who made us because he loves us and he wants to fellowship with us. And if we're not doing that, we're not fulfilling our purpose for existing. God wants you. And not only is God willing to do it, and that leads us to the next thought, God wants to do it. I don't know why. I don't know why God wants to be with me, but he does. And to me, the thought that God wants to be with me. The other day, Mrs. O'Brien said, Pastor, guess who called you on the phone? I said, who? She said, Birch Bayh, Senator from Indiana. And later on, she said, Pastor, guess who called you again? I said, who? She said, Birch Bayh. Now, I do not think that, but anyway, I voted for Goldwater. That answers the whole thing. Nevertheless, I got a little excited about it. You know why? I want to know what I'd done and what I hadn't done as supposed to do. And next day, she said, guess who called again? Birch Bayh said, left his number, said, call him. And so I called Washington to the Senate and the building, and I called for Birch Bayh. And the lady secretary said, I'm sorry, Senator Bayh is in a committee meeting right now, and he cannot be interrupted. And I said, she said, whom shall I say called? And I said, Dr. Jack Hiles. Oh, she said, I'll get him. I said, oh. Some have got it and some haven't. But anyway, and she did, no joke. She called him out of committee meeting, and we had a nice talk. He's running for president, wanted me to run for vice president with him on the same ticket. So if you're going to tell them, boy, tell whoppers, you know. But now, honestly, I was rather thrilled that Birch Bide won't talk to me. To say I agree with him on everything would be untrue, but I was thrilled. But, oh, listen, the one that made Birch Bide wants to talk to me. The one who made the cattle on 1,000 hills and caused the sun to come as a bridegroom coming from a bride chamber. The one who causes the moon to stay in its place and every star to stay in its own socket. The one who spoke and worlds came into being. The one who feeds every little animal of the field. The one who notes the falling of every sparrow. The one who feeds every raven. The one who numbers the hair of every head. The one who clothes every lily of every field. The one who spoke, the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God of gods, for whom the earth is too small, for whom the heaven is too small, for whom the heaven of heavens is too small, for whom the high and holy place is too small, that God's calling me and says he wants to talk to me. That means I ought to talk to him, and I ought to want to talk to him. You know, you know why you don't want to talk to God? Huh? You know why you don't want to talk to God? Three-letter word. It's a dirty three-letter word. It's got I right in the middle of it, and an S and an N on either side. We used to have a poodle dog at our house. I'm sorry, Chihuahua. We had a poodle too, but a Chihuahua. And the Chihuahua and I have one thing in common. The Chihuahua was always snorting, but he was worse than I. He had to croup all the time. Every time he'd get nervous, he'd go, he said, "How can you do that? I've practiced for years. That's how I can do it." That Chihuahua, you know, I could tell, name was Mickey Mouse Hiles. That Chihuahua, I could tell when that Chihuahua how he'd been living through the day. I could come in, and that Chihuahua would have his nose on the window and looking out for the boss to come in. And I'd come in, and that little Chihuahua would be so happy. I could always tell how happy he was, because if he gave three, then that meant he was glad to see me. Two was pretty good. One was bad. And no that was terrible. He didn't want to see me at all. And he'd be wag his tail and shake his head. Then he could smile. He didn't do it with his hands, but he could lift his teeth like that and smile. He was glad to see me. But you know what happened? Did you know that sometimes I'd come in, he wasn't at the door. And I'd start walking over to the bed, because I knew what bed he always hid under. I'd walk over to the bed, and I'd see a little snake, they called a tail, doing like that. And then finally, as I'd get closer to the bed and see my feet, it'd go like that. And then, when I got right to the bed, nervousness set in again, and I'd hear a like that. And so I'd look under the bed, and there he was. He didn't want to face me. You know why he didn't want to face me? He'd done something wrong. Oftentimes, I could smell what it was. He always had. Always did. He'd done something wrong. Now, we may have to take you to the nursery, Dr. Harris. you know why? He didn't want to be with me. By the way, that's why you don't be with God either. You know why you don't pray? Sin. You know why you don't spend time with God? You don't. Listen. I can tell you. Every time a young person drifts away from God, he doesn't want to see the preacher like he used to. Young people that used to come to my office and seek counsel from me, they don't do it. I can tell you why. They don't want to see the preacher. They don't want to talk to the preacher. and you watch them in the service. You fellows on the platform can see them. They'll start slumping down in the service while I preach like that and sort of get like that. You know why?
I'll tell you why.
They don't want to be around the preacher. But a young person that has an openness, some of these young people, God bless them, they'll go out of their way to say hello to the preacher. We have a couple of girls. I'm helping. Some of our people are helping them go through school. They meet the bus here at the church every morning, and they're not able to pay their own expenses through school, but they're unable to pay their own expenses, which means they're on the poor side. But when I get here every morning and they're here, they always are so glad to see me, and they'll open the door for me. Or they may sometimes, and they don't have much. Sometimes they'll reach in their sack lunch and get me an apple. And give me an apple. And they'll say, have a good day. Or I'll walk by and they'll say, have a safe trip. Or sometimes if I have just had just shaved and washed my feet, they'll say, you sure look nice today. And I always know they're okay. Because they love to be around the preacher. You know why you don't love to be around God? You've been in trouble. Pardon the pun, there's been a stink raised somewhere. Sin! The reason you don't spend time with God, you don't love to be with God. Why? Because every time you get close to God, your sin is pricked. And what you've been doing is revealed. But God wants to spend time with you. God loves to spend time with you. Why? I do not know, but He does. I'll tell you why He does. One reason, I think. God's lonely. Listen to me. He lives by Himself. You go to any business you want to go to, some big business, you go to the sign that has the word PRESIDENT, and you'll find the loneliest man that works there. Why? He's everybody's boss. His place is the loneliest place of all. He's over all of it. And our Father, did you ever stop and think God never has anybody talk to Him on His own level? He never does. You ever talk to somebody and all they talk about is people? Hold on to me, there's nothing. A little of that goes a long ways. Every once in a while, did you hear about Suzanne Peabody? Did you know she's expecting her third? Did you hear about Marilyn Streeter? I said, yes, I heard about that. That's a perennial one. She's expecting her 13th. And by the way, is so-and-so gone yet? I don't know. And people talk about people. And sometimes I just wish maybe they'd just stop and talk about something else for a while. I get so hungry sometimes for folks. Sometimes somebody will say to me on a trip, they'll say, hey, in Blue Denim and Lace, in one of those chapters there, what did you mean by a certain statement? And boy, my antenna goes up and I'll say, man, I'd like to talk to you about that. But God never has anybody talk to Him about what He can talk about. Never. But God wants somebody to talk to Him. He wants somebody to care for Him. He wants someone to spend some time and make on over Him. Listen, God wants somebody to say, you're wonderful and you're great and I love you and you're fabulous. God wants that. He wants that. The little girl in our church, I told you about her. She's about 2, 3. Her mother brought her in on my birthday. And she told her to say happy birthday. And she said, happy birthday, Brother Hyatt. Sweet little thing. But she didn't know it was a special day. So every time she sees me now, happy birthday, Brother Hyatt. And instead of saying hello, it's happy birthday, Brother Hyatt. And you know what I'd do? I'd go around the block. I'd go a block out of the way to get to talk, meet her on a sidewalk. You know why? Because she smiles at me. And God wants that. Don't you think God gets hungry? Huh? There are some people this morning. Every mother or father in this room has been through this. Remember that time that you, for the first time, you said, hey, let's go down to the store and get a ice cream or a milkshake. And she'd always said, goody. But suddenly she said, no. Joe's going to call in a few minutes. Who's Joe? some crazy fool she likes more than she likes you. Never have understood to save my life. With all these ugly pussies over here we got, why any of my daughters would rather be with one of those ugly guys than me. Especially the guys they're with tonight. But never have understood it to save my life. But you know the heart. You remember that, don't you? Huh? You remember that? And you said, you just don't love your old mom anymore. I slave and slave over a hot stove, and you don't love me and appreciate me anymore. That's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is go to the closet and thank God that He never grows old. And He always wants to be with you. But sometimes people get saved, they love to be with God, and after a while, they drift away. And God says, are you there? No, I'm not here. Why? Well, I'm going to go to the WMS meeting. I'm going to go to the youth meeting. I'm going to go to a faculty meeting. God wants you to talk to Him. God wants you to spend some time with Him. God, though He dwells in the high place, He wants to dwell in your heart. And He wants you to spend some time talking to you because He loves you. But may I say this? He only pleads so long. He only pleads so long. He said, I will not always chide. I won't always plead. Did you know that there's a line across which God goes where He won't beg you to fellowship with Him anymore? He won't. Every once in a while I see somebody. Here's a woman. She's got a drunkard husband. And, he's mean to her, but she loves him. I never have understood this. Why is it all the gals that get beat over the head with a club by some drunken sot love him more than these gals do that have good husbands? Here's a gal comes in. What kind of husband you got? Well, he's sweet. Comes home on time. Pays the bills. You love him? I don't know. Gal comes in. Says, what kind of husband you got? She says, he beats me. Comes in drunk. Look at me. Got a black eye. Broken arm. Threw me across the room last night. Why don't you quit him?
Because I love him.
Fellas are secrets to break their necks. That's where you get the real appeal. And but I did what? I've seen it time and time again. Time and time again. I've seen her say, I want him. I love him. I love him. I love him. And she comes back. But after a while, suddenly something snaps. She comes to my office. Usually he comes then and says, my wife's suing for divorce. I said, she's changed. Every time I ever beat her before, she's come crawling back. So she comes in. What's wrong? I don't want him. I don't love him anymore. I don't want him. But he says, well, I thought you always... I know, but it's all over now. And God's that way too. He's that way about salvation. He's that way about the power of God. He's that way about fellowship. Listen to me tonight. You are only as good a Christian as you are in your fellowship and association with the God that made you. Here you left your... How long have you talked to God today? Huh? How long have you talked to God today? Hey, you sound fundamentalist. I carry a Scofield Bible. How long have you talked to God today? Well, I don't go to dances and I don't go to picture shows. I'm glad you don't. But how long have you talked to God today? I don't drink or smoke. I'm glad you don't. But how long have you talked to God today? Well, I come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm glad you do, and you ought to. But how long have you talked to God today? God wants to talk to you. It ought to be an honor. I was thinking tonight, the day that I went to a certain place to preach, and a preacher said, Hey, Brother Hiles, back in the corner on the second row from the back, guess who's back there? I said, who? He said, Dr. Lee Robertson. Oh, my. I began to tremble. I said, I'm going to go back and shake his hand. You watch me. I went back. I was awkward. I couldn't, you know, I wanted to be graceful, but I couldn't. I walked like this. Finally, I got back and I said, I'm not sure I said this, but something like this. I said, Dr. Jack, my name is Robertson Hiles. No, Dr. Frazier, my name is Jack Robertson. No. And he was a kind man. He said, I'm glad to know you, whatever your name is, you know. And I said, I'm Jack Hiles. And I shook hands with Dr. Lee Robertson. Now, I'm sure that He doesn't have any special power that nobody else can have. But I felt like he did. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the first time I saw Dr. John Rice. I think he's the greatest Christian I ever met. And I never forget the first time I saw him. I could not. And people who think he's mean and unkind, they don't know him. One of the kindest, sweetest men I ever met is John Rice. Dr. Frank Norris used to say, John Rice is the kindest and gentlest man that ever scuttled a ship or slit a throat. But I'll never forget the first time I met him. I'll also never forget the first time that I met God. I don't mean I wasn't saved. I was already saved. But I'll never forget the first time the Holy Spirit became a real person to me. You've heard me tell it, many of you. I was in a little church in East Texas preaching on a broadcast in the auditorium of the church behind the pulpit, the empty building, except I was preaching on the old-time religion broadcast. And I was by myself, so I had my coat like that, and I had my tie about like that. And boy, I was letting them have it. You don't realize how we radio preachers look sometimes while we're on the radio. You picture me there in the office, you know, every morning, sitting there very dignified. I may be laying on the floor working a crossword puzzle or something, a jigsaw puzzle. But I've seen Lester Roloff make his broadcast in his bathrobe, laying down his back with his feet up against the wall. And so I was... He'll deny it, but he's a liar if he does. But I saw him. And by the way, don't criticize him too much. Some of your preachers wear robes every Sunday morning. And his is a lot more becoming, that dead thing your preacher wearing. But anyway, I was preaching on the radio, just a kid preacher. Now, I was saved, but I never had reckoned the presence of God. And I was preaching that morning, and I said, folks, listen to me. God is there where you are. He sees what you're doing. The Holy Spirit watches you. He hears what you say. He sees how you're dressed. All of a sudden, I began to tingle all over. I looked down at myself. And I said, God sees me too. For the first time in my life, I realized the Holy Spirit was a person. I began to tremble. Tears began to stream down my cheek as I tried to keep enough control to continue the broadcast. I straightened my coat. I pulled it around me. I pulled my tie up to my collar. And I stood as neatly as I could in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I thought I was alone, but suddenly it dawned on me that I wasn't. And suddenly, for the first time in my life, I realized the Holy Spirit was a person with whom I ought to fellowship. I'll never forget when I got through with the broadcast. I started talking. I said, Holy Spirit, forgive me. I never realized before you were a person. I preached it. I studied it. But I never really understood it before. I promise you, Holy Spirit, I'll never be guilty of neglecting or ignoring you again. Now I said, Holy Spirit, I've got to go home for a few minutes. Which way should I go? What route should I take? And I tried to be sensitive to follow. When I started to come back, I asked him, when I ate lunch, I said, Holy Spirit, what should I eat today? And Holy Spirit, what route should I take? You don't know how many times I pray that same prayer now, and the dear Lord leads me just to a certain spot where I can witness to somebody. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to fellowship with Himself. He wants you to spend time with Him. He who made the heavens wants to dwell in your heart and spend time with you. He who calls the sun to come as a bridegroom coming from her chamber, or coming from his chamber, He wants you to come and fellowship with Himself. He who is omnipotent condescends to want you. Now listen, let me say this and I'll close. The First Baptist Church of Hammond won't make it just because we're fundamental. The First Baptist Church of Hammond won't make it just because we have a good school. Do you know? Now listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Did you know I can be a fundamental pastor, but I can't be the right kind of pastor, and I can't have the seasoning God wants me to have unless I walk with God through the week? You folks on our deacon board, we can't make the decisions that face us. Men, we've got decisions that face us like no deacon board's ever had in the history of this country. We've got to walk with God. Did you know if we don't walk with God, we could get cantankerous at deacons' meetings? If we don't walk with God, we could get on the outs with each other. We can have a split like anybody else could. We've got to stay in tune with God. Did you know, you folks that operate the college, it's so easy, so sensitive as the heavenly dove. It'd be so easy for the college just to go to pot if we didn't walk with God day by day. You folks that teach in the college and high school and junior high and grade schools, did you know you ought to walk with God? Oh, there's nothing any worse than the letter of the law without the Spirit. We've got to walk with Him. We've got to do it. It is the one single necessity of the perpetuation of this work here. It's got to be done. It's got to be done. Nothing else will take its place. Nothing. Nothing. Could I say this and I'll close? The thing that keeps me out of more trouble and helps me more than any other 10 things in the world is I become acquainted with God. Forgive me for being a little bit abrupt and a little bit even seemingly conceited, but I know God. Yes, I do. Yeah, I know Him. That's one reason I get things when I pray. You know why? Look, Brother Helton is vice president of Hiles Anderson College. Did you know that when you get to the place to where you and I think alike on everything, then I'll let you make all the decisions you want to make. Because you're going to make the decisions I'd make. See? And when a person walks with God so much, I said this in my Sunday school class this morning, a person walks with God, and he walks with God, and he walks with God. Did you know there comes a time in his life to where the Lord says, okay, now then, ask what you will, and it shall be given to you. Why? Because I know what you'll ask is what I'd want too. Did you know you get like somebody after a while? Did you know that that's why Mrs. Billings has a big nose? Did you know that she had a small nose when they got married? But she's lived with a fellow so long, her nose has grown by leaps and bounds. You get the idea. Did you know that Ms. Helton weighed 240 pounds when they got married? Now she's down to a skinny rail. You know why? Because she lives with a skinny rail, that's why. There's something about walking with somebody that makes you like them. When a person walks with God, it makes you sort of like Him. And it makes Him trust you a little bit more. And I'll tell you another thing, too. The sweetest part of the Christian life is walking with God. Walking with God. Walking with God. Many a night, I leave the service. And the people go their ways. You fellows know how it is. They go their ways. And I'm left on the front porch of the church, you know, wondering who's going to take me home out of my room. And I go to my room and walk inside the motel room. And sometimes I'll say, it sure is lonely in here. But everywhere I've been, whether it be on the shores of the beaches or whether it be in the height of the mountains, there's always somebody there who says, I'm here. I'm here. And how sweet the fellowship. He's mindful of me. And He wants me to fellowship with Him. He wants you too. How long have you spent with God today? Let us pray. Father, we do not completely understand nor comprehend why You would want to be with us, but You do. We don't understand why He who is high and holy and lifted up, He who dwelleth in eternity, He who lives in the heaven of heavens, He who made the universe, why that You'd be interested in fellowshipping with us. But You are, and we're grateful. I pray that You'd speak to my people tonight. I pray that my deacons, my staff, our teachers, our school teachers, our college workers, our students, our lay people, our housewives, our steel mill workers, our Sunday school teachers, I pray that all of us tonight shall make a new vow and promise that we're going to spend time with Thee, our Father, and our God. Our heads are bowed in prayer. Our eyes are closed. I'm talking to folks today who called yourselves fundamentalists, having spent 15 minutes total all week with God. What kind of Christianity is that? I'm talking to folks tonight in this room who call yourselves good Christians, and you witness even, and read your Bible some. But you haven't spent 10 minutes all week with God. Total. Sum total. What kind of Christianity is that? Let me tell you something, dear friend. The source of your power is fellowship with your God. No fellowship, no power. Much fellowship, much power. I wonder who would say tonight, Brother Hiles, I stand guilty. I'm saved, but I stand guilty and condemned tonight of not having spent the time I should have spent with my God. I want God to forgive me, and I want to raise my hand as a confession. Would you lift your hand, please? All over the building. All over the building. God bless you. Father, we didn't mean to. Most of us really expected to talk to you. But we got so busy with each other. We got so busy going here to there, buying and selling and marrying and giving in marriage, going and coming and driving and eating and drinking. We didn't mean to leave you out. And honestly, we're sorry we did. I pray you'd help us to be willing to spend time with you. If thou, the great God of the universe, is interested in playing jacks with us, dear Lord, the least we can do is play jacks with you. I pray you'd bless us and help us to give you more time and love you more and tell you more and walk with you more. Bless these dear ones. May tonight, may problems be averted. May dispositions be improved, and may decisions be made, and may wisdom be gotten, may power be gotten, because we promise to spend time with thee who wants to live with us. God, make it so. Our heads are bowed. If you ought to come after a while and do some business with God, you do it. Wait a minute. How many would say, Brother Hiles, I'm not even saved. I don't even know I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. Pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to know God. I want to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Raise your hand, then I'll pray for you. Yes, I see you. Who else? Who else? Yes, God bless you, sir. I see you. Who else? Way back in by the door. God bless you. Yes. Who else? I want to be saved and know it. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please. Up in the, yes, God bless you. I see your hand. You'd like to be a Christian, like to know you're going to heaven. Raise your hand, please. God bless you, son. God bless you. Who else? Say, pray for me. I'd like to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Raise your hand, please. Who else? Father, I do pray for these. I pray tonight that each one of them will say yes to Jesus and come to know Him as Savior. Now heads are bowed. If tonight you're not saved and you raise your hand, leave your seat when we stand and sing. Come to the nearest aisle, down the aisle to the front. Let's settle it for God tonight. You can walk out of these doors with your sins forgiven. You can walk out these doors with your name written in heaven. You can walk out of these doors a child of God. Won't you come tonight and do it? Won't you do it? Then some of you ought to come for baptism. You've been saved but not baptized. Others ought to come and say, I want to join this group.